It's what, and then, well, it's not just medical. It's like, it's totally legal. That's wine. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
can't just for sure.
Walk around and drink wine on the street. I know some people would like to. And those guys usually have Mad Dog 2020 kind of wine. But, so. Anyways, oh yeah. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I'm here with
Carlos De Jesus.
Hell yeah.
I say that funny, don't I?
No, I don't know. How would you like to say it? De Jesus?
I have no idea. It sounds like I'm saying my name. Carlos De Jesus. Like I'm like some sort of automated teller.
Carlos De Jesus.
Yeah. You have a voicemail.
It's like when you have a video game character and you go from each one, Bucky Byers, mm-hmm. Carlos De Jesus.
Like a shitty Madden. You know what I mean? Like when when he's like introducing push and number 83.
No, the funny thing is like they do it really good now, but back when they first started being able to put the voices into video mm-hmm. games, listen, and it's passed to Iserman, and it's passed to Hull, and it's passed to Chris Draper.
Yep.
And it's a one-timer. You know, how every single one was back-to-back and shit. And, well, speaking of technologies and stuff like that, made me think about this is, dude, how cool was it to see yourself on the big screen? Well, maybe not yourself, but... Well, you did. You know what I mean?
So that was cool as fuck. I went into the movie, so I got to work on, like, 2 years ago, if you haven't listened to the previous podcast, I worked on, as an animator, previous animator, Pacific Rim 2. It was, like, 2 years ago. And I finally, because I forgot most of, like, what I worked on, to be honest with you, and I finally got to see it yesterday, and there was a lot of things on there. And so I went to the movie to watch the movie itself, to judge the movie. Like, so I went there without bias, you know, to see if, like, is this product that I worked on any good? This movie that I helped create, is it any good? And, you know, I'm going to give it, before we go into anything, I'm going to give it about a 78. Part of it is for sure a little bit.
70% out of 100?
Out of 100.
Okay, so that's like a C.
Yeah, you know, it's a C. I wouldn't say it's a low C, but it's definitely not a B movie, you know.
B is 80.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. 78. There was some marks that it missed, you know, and it, of course, there is a little bit of bias, because as much as I tried not to be biased, you know, I would watch the movie and be like, ha ha, that's me, ha ha. All of this shot is all me. This is all me, ha ha ha.
That's kind of like I guess being a parent and having a kid in Little League. Like, you'd be like, dude, this kid fucking sucks, but it's mine. So, good job, Johnny. Good job.
Right. But then the movie itself wasn't too bad. But it was so cool to see the work that I did, because it was like I didn't know what to expect. You know what I mean? Even though I worked on some of these scenes, you know, all these sequences and stuff, I didn't know if. You know, if it was just, I didn't know the process of how previous work, because this is the first time I ever did it. So I didn't know if they took whatever I did, and then they took it to another company and they made like a better version of it for the movie. No.
Right.
They didn't do that. They took my actual work. They did some post processing, like some post compositing stuff. Yeah. You know, made it look
kinda
better.
Color matching, type
color matching.
Stuff, yeah.
You know, little debris stuff, like small visual effects, some post visualization stuff, and then it was just there.
That's what
I did is the movie. Like I made a movie. You know what I mean? Like I made a movie,
Dude, that's so cool.
Was like the coolest thing to see. You know, even if the movie isn't great, because I've seen some people on Twitter, like, just shit on this movie and all that stuff. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know what the fuck they're expecting. But, like, to see that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like going to a porn and bragging about the plot sucks.
There are some things that I could understand about it, but it was so fucking cool to see that. Just to see, like, it was my actual shot.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just a reference of my shot. It was what I did.
Right.
And that's fucking incredible, you know, to see. And so, it was so cool.
Can you give any examples what to look for without giving too bad of spoilers?
Oh, yeah.
Or just do what everybody else does, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not much of a spoiler alert. Let's see. I mean, you're going to see a lot of explosions and a lot of... So there was a scene where one of the mechs. What do they call them? What do they call the mechs?
I haven't seen it. It's Kaiju versus...
Oh, I totally forgot what the machines are called.
I haven't seen the newest one yet.
Oh, my God.
All right, so the two of the big mechs, they're fighting each other.
Right, so, okay, so there's, like, there's this scene, because I got, you know, because it was the first time I ever did previs, I got a lot of the easier shots, you know, I didn't get a lot of, like, the super dope
right,
shit.
Right,
you know, because that's all left. That. Yeah, you gotta work up for that. And the people who are working on this are fucking super good. And
this is how you get there, dude.
Yeah, they're super good.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of shots where it's just, like, explosions and stuff, and it's like, okay, they're like, all right, so one of the, it was, I believe Titan Redeemer is the name of the mech.
Oh, cool.
Is the name of the machine that he's, the Jaeger that he's piloting.
It'd be cool if it's like, Matt, so he's like, and here's the bomb. This is the Jaeger bomb.
Oh, God. And so.
It was a Red Bull promo.
Yeah, right. Right. And so its leg gets blown off and it falls. And when it falls over, it just lands on its back. That whole sequence I did.
Oh, no way.
So that was fucking wicked to see. There's a couple other things in there where it was like, it's just like a lot of it was so cool. I don't like. What's the coolest one that I worked on that you could say that you I could tell you because it's in the trailer. Okay. No, that's not in the trailer. No. That scene wasn't in the trailer. I thought it was. All right. Either way, you'll see a bunch of my work. It's not like I can explain it to you and then you'll get it visually because you probably haven't seen it yet, but. So I'll go with the issues that I've had with it right now.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm telling all the cool stuff, all the things that I did, right. You know, but as somebody who worked on it, there's a couple of things that I felt was wrong at first. So it's some of the acting, the pacing, and some of the script was little shit. And so, you know, John Boyega is the star of this movie, and he did well. He did well acting. He's a good actor, but you could tell that he knew that he had to read some of these lines.
Oh, like,
and he knew that they were so cheesy. like he was just so cheesy, but he knew that he had to act these lines, but you could tell that he's just, like, deep inside. Oh, this is cheesy. You know what I mean?
Who wrote this shit?
Yeah, exactly. Especially coming from like a Star Wars, you know what I mean? So he was kind of like, you could just tell. But it was cool. I had fun with it. As far as the pacing's concerned, and I think a lot of the reason is because there was a director producer switch mid-movie.
You know what makes me scared is, we'll talk about later though, is that's what scares me about the. Harrison Ford, not Harrison Ford, he used to be Harrison Ford, Han Solo
the
movie.
Han Solo movie.
Yeah, because of flip-flop, that might be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's what kind of scares me, but anyways.
Yeah, and see, the thing is that it wasn't bad, like, what they did at first, it's not bad, but the pacing was so off that it confuses you, because they're trying to do too much at the beginning, and once they get past that, and essentially, once they get to the point of the movie is great.
Mm.
But it takes a good 30 minutes to even start to get to the point because they're trying to fill in too much. And there's so much time that they're covering in like 20 minutes that it seems that it's just jumping everywhere. And a lot of the shots I got are in this section.
It's like 15 years after the first one, too, something like that, right?
Yeah, okay. It's like 15, 20 years because it's the son of Pentecost. The guy who, in the first movie, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, you should probably watch it. He gives his life to seal the rift, which is, you know, where all the kaiju are coming from. And so he sacrifices his life, becomes this international hero who saved the world.
Yeah.
And his son, who doesn't like to go by the name Pentecost, he's the star. And he's completely the opposite at first, but then, you know, he doesn't want to do it. But then the pacing is so off that you're just like, well, now he's doing this, and that's weird, you know? So, like, at first, it's a little much. But then after that, then it becomes a well-paced movie. Then it starts to, you know, like, then you see what the movie was supposed to be from the beginning, you know, instead of, like, all of this backfill. It's kind of like what they did with, like, Spider-Man, where they tried to give too much of the origin story again.
Oh, the other Spider-Mans? Yeah. Because that's what's cool about the current one that they did, is they didn't have to... They're like, okay, we already got The only problem I had with the new Spider-Man was instead of giving an Uncle Ben reference, there was a Tony Stark reference where it was just like, you know what I'm talking about, where Tony Stark popped up in his head instead of his Uncle Ben. Like, great power comes great responsibility. Yeah, that's been something like that's echoed throughout my military career. You know what I'm saying? And that's that same thing with that. And then he's got Tony Stark. I don't want to let Tony Stark down. That's basically the punchline for that. And I'm like, not cool.
It's, oh man, I thoroughly enjoyed watching that. Like I said, once you got past it, because like it really kind of was a little bit of a chore.
Yeah.
To get through that first 30 minutes, you know, but then after that, it was so much fun. It's exactly what I wanted in that kind of movie, you know. It wasn't.
So it was like a good roller coaster. Like you click, 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 and you're waiting to get to the top of it. But when you fucking
finally come down that first hill, oh man, like, all right, so the twist in it is dope. Like, once you find out what they want you to find out, and once the movie gets to the point of the movie, you're going to be like, ha, that's cool as fuck.
Fuck, yeah.
That's cool as fuck. And then, you know, because, like, when I worked on it previous, we've had many different versions of it. And this is the alternate ending. How they ended it was the alternate ending of what we had initially. But in order to get there, it actually ended up being cooler than the first version, you know, because it's like, so it built up to the final fight, right? And in our version of the final fight was dope, but it like just to get to the final fight, our version was dope. But what they did instead was even fucking cooler. But the final fight with our version was more cool than the way that they ended it this time.
Gotcha.
So it's very, very interesting to see, like, okay, the directions the directors take to be like, oh, well, this doesn't fit anymore and all that. And to see, like, oh, I don't remember seeing this. And that was also cool, like, seeing all the parts that I didn't see, you know, because I worked on it from the ground, you know. Like, so that was fucking dope to see.
That's the thing, too. Like, to do any kind of work here in Hollywood, it's kind of scary to tell anybody about. But I mean, for you, you knew you were going to be in this. But, like, a lot of people, like, a lot of our friends, you know, and, like, every once in a while, we might get a spot to do an extra work, and you're not like, yeah, I'm in the new Transformers something or whatever, or I'm in this or that and the other thing. But by the time it comes out, you know, half your shit's on a cutting board floor somewhere.
And you might get cut out.
You're like, yeah, that whole story of, yeah, I was there. And then they're like, where were you? I didn't see you. I'm like,
Oh, it's so funny, too. So in movies like this, there's a lot of visual effects studios and artists that do work, right? So, you know, we stayed, you know, because we had our own private screening. And so we stayed to the end so that way I could take a picture of the credits so that way I could boast to everybody on my Instagram, you know, make everybody else feel shitty that they're not doing things, right?
Remember when you said I wouldn't mant nothing? What movie screen are you on,
yeah,
bitch?
Yeah, exactly.
I did that for a thing, too. I totally get it.
For sure. And so we sat there at the end, you know, at the credits, you know, and we let all the credits go through. And it's so after, once the credits start rolling, you see, like, the actors, and then you see, like, the grips and the hands, and then the caterers, and then the Chinese studio, and then the Taiwanese studio, and then secondary visual effects, and then, like, for 10 minutes, it's just this list of maybe 300 fucking people of secondary visual effects.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, the music people, and then some sound, like, all this stuff. And
am
then,
I on? Did they forget me?
And then, like, 15 minutes into the credits, it's, like, pre-visualization artists, and we're just, like, 8 people.
That's awesome, though, because you got a small little... Yeah,
it's a small little crew, and there's like maybe 2 or 3 studios within that block, and it's just like 10, 15 minutes after everybody else, all the babies, everything else, all the wives of the cooks of the people who weren't even a part of it, but they were just there. After all of that, we got our name on the thing. Oh, it was so fun to see. It waited for a while for that, and it's like, yo, that... our shots were actually in this movie. We were in this movie. Our work was in this movie more than some of the actors.
George from Craft Services. He was really cool. He cut the bread in quarters.
All
in triangle shapes because that's how I like my sandwich. Carlos de Jesus. And then we have everybody
else. Yeah, exactly. It took him 20 minutes to get to me, but, you know, fucking who cares? I was still up there.
We had this thing, Permission to Speak Freely. It was, we filmed all these little things for PBS, and they were like, you know how like PBS doesn't do regular commercials, right?
Right.
They do the like 2-minute PSAs and stuff, and this is what it was. It was like seven PSAs, and it was all vets, and there's these vets, like I want some of them to come up here and hang and do this with us, but and we did it down in San Diego, and each one had their own little thing, and it was the cool thing was they premiered it at the San Diego Film Festival. This was last summer, and I was so stoked because it's like, no way, it's the first time I saw myself on a big screen. So I did the same thing, man. And then there's me, and there's a part where they're like, all right, we're gonna need you to kind of improv this. We need you to say the most disturbing, diabolical words possible. And I'm like, you know, I hang at the Comedy Store at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I know Brian Holtzman and Don Barris. You know, I know some bad words.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just, so I was like, hey, you stupid cunt. And I was just like going into it, dude. I don't want to see.
It's
so brutal. And then, but the whole point was to beep, 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 beep everything out. And then, I don't know. It's on there. Permission to Speak Freely. Just type in that and PBS, Permission to Speak Freely. It'll pull up. But that feeling, and I see, just for me, for that seeing yourself on the big screen is awesome. So I can't imagine, you know, where you're going. That's way cool going through that, where it's like
that's all my shot.
Exactly.
Like, it's not the director's shot. It's not the cinematographer's shot.
Yeah.
Sure, they're the ones who, like, you know, did all the planning and all that stuff. But that's my work.
Yeah.
Like, all of it, from the animation to all of that stuff, is shit that I did. And that's so cool to see, because it's not like he changed it any. They just made it look nicer to put on the screen, but everything about that was me.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fuck, that's even cooler than what I even imagined. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just to see it up there, it's like, it makes you giddy inside.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I made this movie.
That
with the help of all these people in this studio, we made a movie.
Dude, I hope that brings you some good work. I mean, because it sounds like, you know, dope. And the thing is, too, is it's great. However good the movie is or not, that's
totally
irrelevant.
That's irrelevant.
The whole thing is that you're in there, and then you're talking about all these guys that are masters, but to become masters, you have to be the journeyman. And before you're a journeyman, you have to be an apprentice. So it sounds like you're already on the journeyman side of the house, which is cool because, I mean, now you just got to do this a couple more times, and you're fucking good. And if this is... You know, and if this has enough momentum to, like, make a third one, you know, because it sounds like it is.
There's going to be.
There kind of has to be. Because there's always love for mech warriors. Like, because remember, there was old mech warrior games, there's, like, all these, you know.
Oh, yeah, people love mechs versus aliens.
Yeah.
People love it. I mean, back in the day of, like, it doesn't even have to be mech versus alien, but, like, Godzilla is a whole thing. And then you had, you know, like, back in the day with Astro Boy, where he had his mech, and, like, I believe Astro Boy had a giant mech, and, like,
even Robotech,
Gundam,
was...
Robotech, all these things, Voltron, these are all things
Voltron,
that people love, you know?
And I remember the first, like, online game, like, first, like, legit thing I seen was online. I was in Puerto Rico. It was my second deployment, we're getting ready to go to Honduras, and one of my buddies that was going with us, he was a builder, and in his room, he had foot pedals, and I didn't know this was a thing, dude, so I'm, like, blown the fuck away. He had foot pedals, he had hand things, he was talking about, like, bounty hunting, other freak, it was, like, air mech, or, no, mech warrior was what it was called, and that was, like, one of the very first, like, I'm like, get the fuck out of here, this is, like, legit happening. I remember lying to my mom when I was playing, like, Nintendo. I was like, Mom, I can't unplug it because my score gets reported. And I'm like, just making shit up.
Right.
Never knew that was actually how it works. And, like, now, playing a game. What's your murder kill ratio, you know?
KDR.
Yeah, dude, and it's, exactly.
Oh, you mentioned Holtzman. You just mentioned Holtzman.
The best.
He's oh, my God, that guy's amazing. I saw him.
I keep the planes in the air.
That's so fucking funny. He's so unbelievably funny. Also, the nicest... sweetest, kind-heartedest dude I've ever met. I actually saw him. I went to this thing. I get invited to this event downtown LA at the Exchange called Art Battle. And
yeah, I seen you post something about that.
Yeah, so basically Art Battle is you have two first rounds, 12 painters total, 10 register, and then they have a bucket list like for a wild card. So you put your name in a bucket, and if you get drawn, you get to compete as the sixth painter in that round. You know, so it's six painters in one round, and they paint for 20 minutes. They get... They get all of the materials. They get all the paints, all the brushes. They get all the paints, two brushes, a palette knife, and some tape, some painter's tape. And then they get 20 minutes to paint whatever they want, all six of these. And the crowd, they look and they circle around and they judge. And based on whoever, they have tickets in their hands, and based on whoever they think is the coolest painting, they vote. And then the two from that round go on to the finals. There's a second round of the six painters.
So this is March Madness for painters.
Yes, yes.
That's fucking cool.
And
man,
the cool thing about it is that, you know, like some of the proceeds go to charity. And if you don't, let's say you don't win the final round, you know, all the paintings still go up for private auction. So nice. Even if you don't win, somebody might like your painting and buy it, and you still win. So it's a win-win either way. And I saw Brian Holtzman there.
Was he painting?
No, he was just
I put the fucking paint on the canvas. I put the fucking paint on the canvas. What the fuck? Show me the hole! Show me the hole! I put the paint on that canvas. I can just see him doing that.
Oh man, and it's so crazy because like I know Holtzman from his stage presence.
Yes, yeah,
you know, and then to see like he's a maniac on stage, but yeah, it's all a joke to him. It's all a joke, and then to see him at this event that it, like you see him on stage and you're like, this dude's kind of an uncultured, ignorant, kind of funny dude.
Yeah,
and then you see him at this at this art thing, and you're just like, what? Like, I walked up to him and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Man.
And he's like, oh, I just came back from Rome. I was studying Michelangelo and I know the DJ here, so he invited me and I just wanted to watch people paint. And I'm like, how the fuck are you this like, that's like cultured, and you're kind of an eclectic person. Like, what the hell?
No, it's really
you're
funny.
You're throwing me off, man.
Because like, it's really funny because like when I had him on this, all right, I went to his house, and it's like it's a trailer, like a big fucking trailer. It's like a trailer that looks like a house.
Right.
And then he opens up his fence, and to go in, it's a nice little fucking Chinese garden. Like all these like bamboo, like not bamboo, but the bonsai, like little mini bonsai trees.
Yeah.
And all these like little Asian plants, like all over the place, and it's cool. And then you go in his house, and you're looking around, and it's like this isn't not what you thought. It's like being in the TARDIS because it's just like it's three times as big as you thought it would be when you walk inside. And there's all this Japanese stuff like all over the walls, and it's like you can tell this guy is a world traveler.
Oh yeah, that dude is so cultured. Like it's like it blew my mind how when looking at him on stage, and you're just like, this dude is a giant stress ball.
Yeah,
but then everything he does outside of that is the most relaxing shit that you will ever do. It's like the dude is so zen.
Hey, good to see you. You want a drink? Want a drink? I got your drink. I'll get you a drink.
That's exactly what he said to me. That's exactly what he said. He's like, you doing good? I was like, yeah, man. I was talking to Josh. I mentioned you to him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you know Josh CB? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Fuck yeah.
And he's like, you want a drink? And I'm like, I can't afford it. He's like, I got you, man. It's cool. What do you want? Anything you want. Nicest dude ever.
Well, the funny thing, he's got like three jobs. Like, he does like, you know, you would think he's just a regular, you know, comic here at the store. That's it. He used to be like, had more spots here than anybody at one point, you know, back in the day. And it's crazy because now he's the Saturday night closer, which is awesome. Which is basically
the Kinnison spot.
Yeah, he's got the Kinnison spot. And that's basically the thing. The reason why they put people there is to get them the fuck out of the club. You know what I mean? You could end the show being like, that's it. Goodbye, folks. Which it usually ends up that way. Because if you watch Holtzman, it's like, buckle the fuck up.
Man. Oh, yeah.
You're on for a great roller coaster ride.
You're on for a ride, buddy.
Because those wheels fall off, man.
Mm-hmm. He fucking goes. He goes hard, man. So fucking funny, though. And I just wanted to mention that I saw him there because I thought that was a... Like, out of all the places, I would not expect him to see him there.
If anybody listens, go back and listen to that podcast with Brian Holtzman. We're definitely going to have him back in here.
Oh, for sure.
Dude, and the funny thing is, without to spoil it for these guys, this is how it led up. Like, he talked about what he did and how he got in trouble and what happened, right? And then he's like, hey, come here. I want to show you something. So, you know, this is after the podcast is already done. We just got done recording the show.
Yeah.
And I walk back, and then he in his bedroom, he pulls down this big-ass shoebox, and inside the shoebox has his old service record in there. You know, so it's like, and then I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, this is Ehrman Holtzman, and then he reads all of his, he reads it. And I'm like, oh, dude, I gotta record this. And he's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah. So then I put it on there. I recorded it. And then when I tweeted the podcast, I was like, I tweeted that, hey, this is out with Holtzman. I tweeted me and Holtzman like this, you know, on the main stage.
Right.
Like a good picture of that. And then the next one was actually his charge. And because, it, you know, folks that are military, you know that your social security is on everything. So I put a black mark over top of social.
Yeah, you got to redact it. Where it says,
you know, Ehrman and Holtzman on this day, such and such, and it's the entire charge. And then I was parking behind the pink guy. He parks over by there, too. And he's like, oh, so you put my charges on the internet, huh? That's mighty white of you. And I was like, I told you I was going to do it. He's like, yeah, you did. Fair enough. Okay, cool. You need anything? Fucking Holtzman. I love that guy, man.
Oh, he's the best. That guy's absolutely the best. Oh, man.
You got anything coming up? Anything cool?
Do I have anything cool coming up? Actually, to be honest with you, no, not yet. Not that I can think of, at least. I don't think I have anything cool coming up. I've just been not traveling. I've been going walking around places trying to find new things to go do. And I like video games a lot. I love watching video games.
Yeah.
It's one of my things.
I like that with porn.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I like and there's this new place that I found. It's pretty cool. It's a bar up in Burbank. And
really?
Yeah. They don't have like TV there. But they stream everything, so they play like a lot of...
So it's like Twitch shit?
Yeah, they play a lot of Twitch stuff, like Overwatch League is one of my favorite things to watch, League of Legends, this, that, and the other stuff.
Nice.
And they also, it's called the Guild Hall, and they also have like board games, and so I've been going there recently.
The Guild Hall, that sounds pretty cool, and that's in Burbank?
Yeah, it's in Burbank.
So that's what Twitch is, for the people who don't know, that's where you can actually watch people live stream, because... You know, in the generation I grew up in, it was, you know, I don't want to watch anybody. You, the only time you watched is because you had to wait because
my older brother
turn.
Was playing.
Yeah, it's your turn. Because then, like, when the person died, then you played, and then the person died, and somebody else played, and blah, blah, blah. Or you're playing, what is it? You know, because there wasn't, like, everybody's, you got the blue cords, and you could, you know, get everybody together and all that other stuff. Or now, just go home, and you play PUBG with anybody in the world, you know, or whatever you want to do. And that's cool. But before that, you'd have to wait. Like, you're sitting in a room with, like, 20 people to play Street Fighter, you know, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, you know, and you had to wait for somebody to die. Yeah. And you're like, no, I'm in my rotation. You know, you're after Chris because Chris is the last one in the rotation. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you know? I mean, a lot of it, I grew up a lot of the times watching other people play video games because, for instance, that same reason, you know, I'm a middle child, so
yeah,
I watch my older brother play all the time, or watch, like, he's, you know, like, some, they were better than me at these games sometimes, and a lot of times they play sports games, and I didn't care, so I just watch them play sports games, and people can't understand, like, a lot of people don't understand why I would watch somebody play a video game, you know, when, quote-unquote, I myself could play that, but it's the same thing as watching... any kind of professional sport.
Yeah, it's
not,
really...
some people say, well, it's not a sport. Fuck you. It's a competition. Well, it's a competition. And you're watching some of the best people in the world play this competition.
Right.
You know, it might not be a sport in your eyes, but it is.
But the thing is, too, is like, and that's where, it's fine, too, because you get a lot of people saying that, but you get a lot of, and it reminds me of, like, athletes. I remember there was a football player got into it with a golfer saying golf isn't a fucking sport because it's not an athletic sport. And it's just like, holy shit, this is happening on national TV. And I think any time...
Well, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, it's like, I think any time that you actually put your heart and soul and, you know, you actually have planning and you know, before you go into something and you're doing it to compete, that's a sport of a sort, you know what I mean? Like,
it's a sport of a sort. It might not be athletic, but it is a competition,
shit,
and the competition is sport.
Yeah. And some people just consider showing up at the horse races that they're, you know, that's a sport, you know?
Right, the sport itself is the horse race.
I've been sport fishing. I didn't catch shit sometimes, you know what I'm saying? That's a sport.
Sport is just the term for the competitive in a competition. It's that's why, like, if you lose and you shake hands, that's called sportsmanship within a competition, because you're playing a sport. Whether you want to consider that, because your definition of sport might be just athletic, but that's not what a sport is. Archery is a sport because it's a competition.
Yeah.
You know? The same thing with poker. It's a competition, so it's a sport. You know, golf is the same thing. It's a competition, thus it's a sport. Darts, same thing. And some people might argue with me on this, but that's what I think.
Yeah, well, fuck it. I mean, no.
And that's why I watch those esports.
Because, well, there's all the people like Dartboard League. Dartboard League, that was actually kind of big where I grew up, you know? Like, it's like, I call them bar sports or beer sports.
Yeah, exactly. Sports. It's still a sport.
Yeah, and it's like bowling. Back in the 70s, like, people go, oh, what's bowling? But back in the 70s, bowling was dominant, dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody laughs and thinks it's only Kingpin or the Big Lebowski at this point when it comes to bowling. But that was huge back in the day. You know, and that's a... fucking hockey. That's one thing I love about hockey is that at the end of every when they do not tournaments, but yeah, I guess it is a tournament. But when you get eliminated from the playoffs, no matter how bad you got beat, no matter who punched you in the face, it's a handshake line, dude. And I think it's the best thing in sports still, you know. And it's almost playoff season in hockey. Detroit did not make it. Kind of bummed.
I agree.
But at the same time, it's still fucking good to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree. I love that shit, though. I think it's great. I think it's great. Because, like, I can play it. But then I can also watch the best people in the world do this thing and learn how to play it for myself. Exactly. Like, you can go out any day and play soccer. You can play football. And you can even play hockey. You could do all of those things.
But... Every athlete still watches tape.
Yep.
And that's basically what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm watching the best in the world at what they do.
Right.
Learn, and I'm learning from the best.
Or how to counter it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might have what works great against somebody else, but somebody else might be, you know, completely different. Like, you know, Frazier used to watch Ali. Ali used to watch Foreman. You know what I mean? Everybody used to watch everybody. That's
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And the thing with that, too, is... How do you not know how to counter shit? And you never know. You might pick something up along the way.
Yeah.
And plus, it's actually kind of entertaining.
Yeah, I think it's super fun. So that's actually probably what I'm going to be doing today.
Yeah, I got to go. We're going to have to bounce here really quick because we got...
this is a short episode.
Yeah, because I got to get down to the 95.5 KLOS studios because we got the Bullet Boys in. And it's a band that I thought was pretty cool back when I was a kid. So I'm like... Wow, it's really neat to see a lot of these guys come through. Like, not too long ago, we had Greta Van Fleet.
I love it. They're good. They sound a lot. I hope that they evolve and get their own. Like, they do have kind of their own sound.
Yeah, but
it's very much so Led Zeppelin. Dude. Yeah, yes. It's very much so. And I hope. Because I like some of their songs, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, I've heard this before.
Exactly.
And you know, so I'm like, I hope they evolve to get their own kind of sound, because they're amazing.
Right.
You know.
But that's how they're booked, too, which is kind of sad, but awesome at the same time. It's like, oh, this is the second coming of Zeppelin. Well, that's cool. Let's see what Zeppelin would have kept on doing, because Zeppelin evolved. Like, their albums kind of evolved here and there. They added different instruments.
Yeah. And I hope that's what happens signatures. With these guys. I'm going to follow them. I'm following them because I want...
They're not even old enough to drink, I don't think.
And yeah, they're like 16, 17. They're young kids. They're young-ass kids.
Yeah, we just had The Offspring in there, too, and we got a couple other people. We got Sabroso Craft Beer Festival coming up. That's April 7th. That's going to be fucking dope,
dude. That sounds dope.
So, yeah, it's going to be Offspring's headlining, Pennywise, Me First, and then Gimme Gimme's, the Vandals, nice. A few other bands.
Straight punk.
Yeah, dude, and there's like... there's like 300 taco vendors or 300 craft beer vendors, some 300 something, and it's not Sparta's. But but basically, if you go, you're gonna get drunk for free because they all got samples, dude. As soon as you have all the samples and all the tacos, and you can leave as fat as me when you leave.
Fantastic! That sounds amazing.
So then, what else? Oh, dude, just went to my buddy Steve's retirement, motherfucker. did 20 years and kick ass. It's really cool to see. It's really cool to see people stick it out and do the entire time. You know what I mean? It's. I mean, if you only did for a couple of years and you moved on, that's awesome. Good for you. Good on you and all that. But if you did 20, Jesus Christ, man, that's a long time to sacrifice being away from friends and family and all that other stuff. But at the same time, you make some of the best friends and family on the way.
If I would have stayed in, I think I would have like 4 more years before I could retire.
Do you ever kind of regret it sometimes? Or
not at all.
That's cool.
Not at all. I mean, I know some people that do, but they made the mistake of re-enlisting again and then doing it for like 10 to 13 years and then getting out at the 13-year mark. And it's like, you might as well have just stayed for the next 7.
That's what I totally agree. You were young enough at that. And I think we talked about this before. It's like, if you do your first enlistment and move on, cool. Because that sets you up for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
When you get to that halfway point, what the fuck are you getting out for, dude?
Yeah, exactly. You're over the hump. Yeah. Just finish the 7 years. You won't regret it. And those are the people that I feel have regretted it the most are those types that went and re-enlisted, you know, thought for the second or third term even would change their outlook or perspective. And
well, if I go to, you got garrison. If I go to garrison duty instead of deployment duty, it might be different.
Yeah, it's like, you know, but like I myself didn't necessarily like the job that I had. I didn't like being security forces.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of that is what it is, too. It's like, if you got, like, I couldn't have been, like we call a master in arms, dude. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been happy doing it. You know?
I wasn't happy at all. It wasn't fun. I could do the job. Yeah. You know, I have I have very much presence about me, like, so I can, you know, give commands and have authority behind
Right.
But it, as far as my character is concerned, that's totally against who my character is.
Exactly.
You know, so I can't. I didn't like it. I can't do it. I could never do it. Like, it just wasn't in me to arrest anybody or even get people in trouble for shit, you know?
I would feel so guilty because I am, you know, hopefully nobody busts me for this, but I am such a bad guy at California rolls. Like, I do California stops all the time. Mm-hmm. I run red lights when nobody's looking. I sometimes just have the Waze app. I love the Waze app for this reason. I sometimes just have the Waze app running. Not even with the destination, just saying red light camera here. You know what I mean? So I know what's around and shit like that. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's like my buddy Stimson. He's an MA, Rich, and a lot of these other cats that were, and they crossed over because it was either get out or cross rate. And I understand it. Good for you guys. Much love. But CBs, fucking loved it, dude. But small right. organization.
That's why I had to get out after 4. I was just like, I'm done here.
Steve Harper, good on you, motherfucker. 20
congratulations.
Years. All right, man. So it looks like this is a... All right, anything else you want to plug? Anything, Co? What's your Twitter handle? Shit like that, if you want people to follow
you. My Instagram. Follow my Instagram at AltF4. ALTF4. It's not...
AltF4.
Yeah, it's not the alt-right. It's not anything like that. AltF4 is just a computer command to shut down. Yeah. That's all it is. I was really depressed when I came up with it, and I'm kind of a nerd. So I put it like, oh, AltF4, it's like my nerdy way of being like, I'm suicidal and fucking help me. You know, so that's where I got that from. And it just turns out to be cool.
Mine is at... Alt, right, left, up, up, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
Giving him the Konami code.
Yeah. Nah, still at Josh96 O'Brien. And, fuck yeah. I think we just covered everything. Much love, many thanks. And for all those motherfuckers out there that are listening, thanks, Voki. Fuck you. And he was so happy I gave him a shout out. So we're just going to be like, at the end of this, we're going to just fuck you, Voki. Forever. And then to all those that I've followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I led, thanks for making me a better person. And have a fucking week. See ya, bye. That's Kevin Later. Smith's thing.
Yeah,
have a week.
Have a week.
Have a week.
You know what? Have a time.
Have a fucking what? Shindig.